We're opening our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just going to read a few verses tonight. Been dealing with the subject of helps for the home. And I think this message will help everybody in the home. Amen. I hope so. In fact, I think it's going to help everybody. I hope so. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In a moment, he'll begin reading just a few verses, as I said, verse 12, and then we'll jump over to verse 33 and verse 34. And I'll bring it together in a little bit, why I read those verses. So 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Amen. What he's saying here is Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
He went to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of mankind, and he rose from the dead 3 days later.
Amen.
Amen. And he's writing this to the church at Corinth. And he's saying, how come there's some in the church that are saying he didn't rise from the dead? Interesting problem. Well, perhaps the answer is found in verse 33 and verse 34, really verse 33. Be not deceived.
Amen.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right.
Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We'll stop there. I'll tie it together, Lord willing, in a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a joy to be here tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, we recognize tonight that we need thee. I need a fresh filling of thy spirit. Help us, Lord, as we look at a subject that I believe is vitally important in the Christian life. Something that you speak much of in your word. And so, Lord, as I preach, I pray you'd give me liberty in the pulpit. May your word go forth with power and clarity tonight, that we might learn some things about this topic this evening that would help us in our lives. Again, I ask your blessing upon the service. And I do pray if someone's here tonight not saved, that tonight they'd get that settled. And for the believer, we'd get an understanding by your spirit of what this passage teaches and what the Bible teaches about this subject. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On June 16th, 2017, a news article was published in the New York Times by, actually was co-authored by Catherine Seeley and Jess Bidgood. The article was entitled, listen to the title of it, and I'll make more mention of this later, Guilty Verdict for Young Woman Who Urged Friend to Kill Himself. The article was a report on an incident that happened in 2012. And you may be familiar with this story. I was not. When I read it, I became familiar with it. In 2012, Michelle Carter, who was a 17-year-old girl, and Conrad Roy III, who was an 18-year-old young man, they became friends and they built what I guess you call today a virtual relationship. You know, by that I mean it was a relationship that was built largely through texting, text messaging, from 2012 to 2014. Well, they texted each other for a couple years, and in 2014, Conrad began to struggle with severe depression, so much so that he was contemplating at that time in 2014 suicide. Now, this was not the first time that he had thought about this. He had talked to Michelle about this through text before. Well, at first, when he shared what he was thinking with Michelle through text messages, she encouraged him to seek help, but it was weird because suddenly her text message counseling to him had changed. For two straight weeks, she repeatedly was encouraging Conrad to kill himself. They talked at length about how to do it. She talked to him back and forth about how he would use carbon monoxide to do this. And she kept texting him this phrase, you just need to do it. On the morning of July 13th, 2014, the series of text messages, at least a portion of it, went like this. And it's on the record. This is what the text was. The texts were, Michelle texts this, if you want it as bad as you say you do, it's time to do it today. Conrad texts back, yep, no more waiting. Michelle texts back to him, okay, I'm serious. Like you can't even wait till tonight. You have to do it when you get back from your walk. Yeah, she again texted, you're fine, it's going to be okay, you just got to do it, you can't think about it. And so Conrad then gets in his truck and he drives his truck to a remote area in the Kmart parking lot in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, and he parks his vehicle. He brought with him a gas-powered water pump that he started up inside the vehicle so that it would produce a lethal level of carbon monoxide in his truck. So he starts it up. He begins feeling the effects of it, and he sits there for a few minutes, and then Conrad begins to get scared. And he begins to have doubts, and so he opens up the door of his truck, and he decides to get out and call Michelle. Not text, call her now. Michelle tells him over the phone, according to the reports, get back in. Conrad did, with Michelle still on the phone, never hanging up. And Michelle listened to Conrad Roy die. She didn't call for help. She did not say anything to his parents. In June of 2017, Michelle Carter was found guilty in a Massachusetts court of involuntary manslaughter, and she was sentenced to 15 months in jail. Now, may I back up and say this? And we're not going to dispute the legitimacy of the trial or the verdict or anything like that, but remember the title of the article. Guilty verdict for young woman who urged friend to kill himself. The Boston Globe wrote an article on the same thing. Listen to the title. Plainville teen charged with manslaughter in friend's suicide. Daily Mail, title of the article. Teen who faces 20 years behind bars for encouraging friend to kill himself. I'd like to say this. That's not the kind of friend I want to have.
Amen.
That's not a friend at all.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I want to preach on that subject tonight. This idea of friends. And I want to preach on the subject. Notice the title, if you will. Guarding Your Friends.
Amen.
Are friends important?
Amen.
Absolutely they are. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about friends and friendships. Talks about the blessings of friendships. It talks about the dangers of friendships. The Bible talks about the powerful influence that friends have upon each other. And that is absolutely true because it's in the Bible.
Amen.
It's absolutely true.
Right.
You know that even the world understands the powerful influence of friendships. Yeah, they really do. Most of your opioid addicts were introduced to the drug by a friend. Most of them are given drugs to OD on by a friend. Most of the time, the person who takes their first sip of liquor is done so at the encouragement of a friend. Someone who does something wrong often is urged on by a so-called friend. Now, I understand that everyone, and please listen to this, everyone is personally accountable for their actions. In other words, if someone can't make you do something, I get that. But the truth of the matter is this, friends are a very powerful influence.
Right.
And you need to understand, and I need to understand, what friendship is and how to guard friends. Now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find the great chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is here correcting the church at Corinth. He did that throughout this book, by the way, throughout this letter. He had to correct them again and again and again and again over doctrine, over carnality. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And over misusing or abusing, if you will, the Lord's Supper and the misunderstanding of spiritual gifts. All of those things. It's really a letter of correction. And here's he's correcting them on their misunderstanding of the resurrection. How did they get to a place where they were misunderstanding the resurrection? Verse 12, I just read it. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, watch this, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? In other words, there were some inside that church that were influencing the others with false doctrine. There's the influence of friends, by the way. And notice the verses I read in verse 33 and verse 34. Paul gives a principle here about this. Notice he says, be not deceived in verse 33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, what exactly does that mean? That word communications has the idea of companions. So what he's saying here, when he's saying, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners, what he's saying here is this, bad companions, or can I take it a step further and say bad friendships are going to corrupt good manners.
Right.
They're going to influence you for wrong. And so I say, be careful who your friends are. So tonight we're going to look at this. What does the Bible teach about friends? Who should be our friends? Who shouldn't be our friends? And so let's consider several things tonight about the biblical principle of friendship. Notice, first of all, number one, write this down, the perception of friendship. In other words, do you or do I understand what friendship is? What is a friend? Now, we find the words friend or friends or friendly or friendship in 102 verses in the Bible. 68 of them in the Old Testament, 34 of them in the New Testament. 19 of those verses are in the book of Proverbs. By the way, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Tells us a lot about friends and friendship. Some, for example, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I'm going to talk about that at the end. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 14:20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Now, I'm not going to read all 102 verses, but my point is this, that the Bible gives us a lot of instructions on friends and friendships. And we need to understand this if we're going to have the spiritual walk with God that he wants us to have. Now, perhaps the most important foundational thing to understand is what is a friend? What qualifies a relationship as being a friendship? So let's talk about that here for a moment. First of all, letter A, write this down, the distinction of a friend. Do we understand, if you were to look at a relationship, would you say this is a friend or this isn't a friend? What is this person to me? How do we know if we say, well, this is a friendship? How do we understand that? Well, let's first consider how a friend differs from other relationships. In other words, let's first think about what a friend is not. Okay? So being a friend is different than two things. Number one is this, being a friend is different than being friendly. Just because you're friendly to someone doesn't mean that's your friend. May I say this? Every Christian should treat every human being in a friendly manner.
Amen.
I think I want to say that again.
Amen.
Every Christian should treat every human being in a friendly manner.
Amen.
No matter what. No matter who they are, whether they're saved, whether they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, or they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Just because someone's not saved doesn't give us a right to not be friendly to them.
Amen.
We should be friendly to everyone. No matter what they've done to you, you should be friendly to them.
Amen.
We need work on that one. Perhaps I should maybe give an invitation right there. Well, they did this to me and they did that to me, so I'm not going to be friendly to them. Wrong. You should be friendly to everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done to you, whether you've just met them or you've known them for years. Sometimes we know people so long that we cease being friendly to them. They walk by us. We don't even say hello to them. That's not right either. Every Christian should be friendly to everyone.
Amen.
We should love all people.
Right.
We should be kind to all people.
Amen.
We should be respectful to all people. We should say hello and greet all people.
Amen.
That's just common courtesy. It's part of being friendly. We should be cordial to all people, and we should do good to all people, and I'll say it again in a different way, regardless.
Amen.
Everyone. You say, preacher, that's good preaching. I think so too, because it's Bible. Let me give you some Bible. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Well, you don't know what he did to me. I don't care. Well, you don't know how they treated me in the past. I don't care. You don't know what they said to me. I don't care. And the Bible doesn't either, because he says, be gentle to all men. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. You should probably write some of these verses down. Be a help to you. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who of the house, who are of the household of faith. You and I should be friendly to everyone. By the way, when you come into church, you ought to be friendly to people.
Right.
Don't find some corner to sit there and mope about whatever it is you want to mope about or be upset with people. Be friendly to people. Be cordial to people. Love them. Be nice to them. That is part of what it means to be a Christian. We are to be friendly. But understand something. Being friendly and being friends are not the same thing. It's not. We are to be friendly to everyone. And we're going to talk about the friend part in a minute. So being friendly and being friends are not the same thing. Number two, is, write this down as well. Also, having an acquaintance and being friends are not the same thing. Now, an acquaintance is someone you just kind of know. You may know their name. You may interact with them. You may talk to them, be friendly to them, and so forth. They may be someone that you work with. They may be someone that you go to church with. They may be someone who is in your Sunday school class with you, and you know them, but you know, you wouldn't say you're a friend to them. It could be a neighbor in your neighborhood that you talk to. That would be an acquaintance. But just because you know someone and talk to them doesn't make them your friend. Okay, so there's a distinction here. Knowing and interacting with someone makes them merely an acquaintance. So being friendly and being friends are not the same thing. And then having an acquaintance and being friends are not the same thing either. May I say this as well? I'm just going to throw this one out here just because I feel like it. Being a friend and being having a romantic interest in someone is not the same thing either. There's a difference. Well, we're just friends. Come on now. We see the way you look at each other. We see the way you googly eyes at each other. We see the way you act around each other. Well, we're just friends. No, you're not, okay? There's a romantic interest there. So that's not a friendship either. Amen? So there's a distinction of being a friend or having a friend. Again, it's not being friendly. It's not having an acquaintance. And it's not some intended romantic relationship. So letter B, then we're going to look at the definition of a friend. So what is a friend then? Well, I'm glad you asked. The primary Old Testament Hebrew words that are translated friend are the words re'ah and meri'ah. For those of you who want to go home and tell someone you learned something at church, there it is. R-E-A and M-E-R-E-A. The primary New Testament Greek words for friend, friendship, and so forth are the words philos and heteros. And both of them mean the same thing. It means this, someone who is a friend, understand, is someone who is a close companion. They are a close associate. They are what you could call a comrade, a partner, someone you hang out with, if you will. Webster's 1828 dictionary puts it this way. I wrote it down for you. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection. And it means to be allied with another. One with whom a person frequently associates and converses. And that's very important because we need to understand what is a friend. It is someone that there's an attachment there of your heart. It's someone that's allied with someone. A friend is someone you hang out with. A friend is someone that you like to spend time with. A friend is someone that you enjoy keeping company with. It's someone that you go beyond being friendly to. You go beyond just being an acquaintance with, and you enter into this close relationship with them. You see, the people who fit this description would be the people that should be considered your friends. So if you're thinking of someone that you hang out with, or you're thinking of someone that you spend time with and you keep company with, you could consider that person, there's that heart knit together, you could consider that person a friend. That's what a friend is. You know, there's a familiar phrase, you've probably heard it many times, that goes like this. We go through life with many acquaintances, but few friends. And that's true. We do. We meet a lot of people, especially in the ministry. You meet a lot of people, especially in a church like this. I mean, people come and go. There's acquaintances and all that. And we should always be friendly with people. But understand, you're going to find that when you get to the end of this journey or towards the end, that there are really very few that you could say that person is truly a friend. So when you think of a friend, think of the person you're hanging out with, the person you're spending time with, the person that you enjoy keeping company with. This is number one, the perception or the understanding of friendship. Again, its distinction and its definition. Notice number two, if you would, not only the perception of friendship, but notice the problem with friendships. You say, wait a minute, preacher, things were sounding pretty good there for a little bit. Now you're going to start talking about problems. I am. Sometimes, watch this, as Christians, we think that everybody should be our friend. That's a wrong thinking, by the way. Some have the idea, well, I'm a Christian, therefore, you and me, we need to be friends. We need to hang out with each other, spend time with each other, keep company with each other. Our hearts need to be knitted together, attached, if you will, allied, frequently associating with one another. That's not true. Matter of fact, that would be impossible. You wouldn't have enough time in the day to do that with everyone. But again, sometimes we think that everyone should be our friend, that with every person we should try to develop a close, intimate camaraderie. And if we don't do that, then something's wrong with us. That's not true. There are guidelines to friendship. Again, we should be friendly with everyone or to everyone, but everyone shouldn't be our friend. Did you know that? It's absolutely true. You say, why is that? You know, some friendships are healthy. A good, right friendship is definitely healthy. It is actually profitable. It is good to have. Sometimes a good friendship will strengthen both of those people that are involved in that friendship. It'll fit the description of Proverbs 27:17 that says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In other words, some friendships are good. In other words, when you're friends, you not only are better because of them, but they're better because of you. And that friendship causes you to be more godly, more Christ-like, and want to do more for the Lord. And that iron is sharpening iron. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. And by the way, those types of friendships ought to be cultivated. Those types of friendships ought to be worked at to keep, because there's always little things that happen between people. But if the friendship is a good one and a right one, you should work at keeping it. But then there's other friendships that are not healthy. There are other friendships that are not profitable. There are other friendships that are not strengthening for both parties. As a matter of fact, some friendships are unhealthy. Some friendships are destructive. Some friendships are damaging to all parties, or should I say, both parties involved. And some friendships, get this, should be abandoned immediately. Because they're not good. They're not healthy. They are destructive. They are damaging. You know, we find this in the Bible. What I mean by that is this. There are examples of good friends and good friendships in the Bible. And there are examples of wrong kinds of friendships throughout the entire Bible. Amen. Let me give you a few of them. And you can write them down. I left you some space there to jot them down. What are some examples of good friends in the Bible? Well, the best example of a good friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the friend of friends. Did you know that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah, no doubt. But he's also a great example of a good friend. Amen. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what he did for you and me? He died for us. Right? He died for our sins. He went to the cross of Calvary. He displayed his friendship. He displayed his love by God himself coming to this earth and going to the cross of Calvary. And when he hung on that cross of Calvary and died, he was shedding his blood for your sins and my sins. Why? To pay our sin debt in full. And if any of us would simply repent of our sin and trust him as Savior, we'll have eternal life. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's a friend of sinners. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, can I tell you this? Jesus Christ loves you. And he is a friend to you if you'll accept his friendship by accepting him as Savior. Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. They say Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad he's a friend of sinners? Amen. I'm so glad that one day he got my attention and showed me I was a sinner on my way to hell, and that he died for my sin, and I repented and trusted him as Savior. Praise God for that. Thank God for the friendship of Jesus Christ. He's that friend that sticketh closer to him, brother. You going through something tonight? He's with you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll be there for you all the time in every situation. What a friend we have in Jesus. But you know, there's other examples of good friends in the Bible. I preached on this a few weeks ago. Jonathan and David. I mean, what tremendous friendship they had. They both loved the Lord. That was the foundation of their friendship. They both wanted to serve the Lord. They both wanted to do right. They both encouraged one another to do right. And by the way, I heard a preacher once define a good friend as this, and I always remembered it, and you might want to remember this as well. And it's not an exhaustive definition of a good friend, but it's a pretty good one if you ask me. He said it this way: a good friend is one who encourages you to do right. Amen. I like that. You want to test if someone's a good friend? Look at what they're trying to encourage you to do. Are they trying to encourage you to live for God and do right and do the right thing? That is a good friend. If they're trying to lead you down a path to do wrong, to hide and sneak and do wrong things, that is not a friend, my friend. Amen. Oh, God help us. God help us. You see, a good friend, when you leave the presence of a good friend or you're in the presence, you'll be more spiritual. You'll be more encouraged. You'll want to do more for God. That's what a good friendship is. So we see examples of good friends, but we also see examples of the wrong kinds of friends in the Bible. You say, like who? Well, the one I think of right off the top of the bat, because of a sermon I heard many times, is Amnon. Amnon, the friend of Jonadab. Do you remember that? How he encouraged Jonadab to rape his half-sister? That was not a friend, but the Bible talks about him in 2 Samuel 13, verses 1 through 23. We won't go there for time's sake, but that was a bad friendship right there. Notice it called them friends, and they were, because they hung out together. They spent time together. They did things together, so it was a friendship, but it wasn't a good one. It was a bad one that led to much destruction in the life of Tamar, much destruction in the life of Amnon, much destruction in the life of David as well. That was a wrong kind of friendship. Can I ask you tonight, do you have some of those? If so, you better flee from them.
Amen.
How about Job's friends. They weren't good friends. Not at all. They were bad friends. So watch this. Here's what I'm trying to say here tonight, which is going to lead me into the third point. Because there are good friendships and there are bad friendships, that means this, and I don't have this on the sheet, but that means there are times that we should remain in a friendship, but then there's times that we should remove ourselves from a friendship. There are times that we should refrain from becoming friends with certain people.
Amen.
You say, that sounds awful mean. That's not Christ-like. That's not Christian. No, that's in the Bible. Proverbs 22:24 says this, and this is one of many verses that have the same principle. Make no friendship with an angry man. God says this, if there's a man that's doing wrong and he has an anger problem, he says, do not be friends with that person. Don't attempt to make a friendship with him. Why is that? It's a bad friendship. So the question is this, how do we know? How do you and I know biblically when it is right to enter into a friendship? How do we know biblically when it's right and good to pursue a friendship? How do we know when it's time for us to remove ourselves from a friendship or refrain from becoming friends? How do we know that? When are friendships right and when are they dangerous? That's a good question, isn't it?
Amen.
How do we figure it out? I'm going to show you right here, which brings me to point number three. So we see the perspective of a friend, the problem with friendships. Then lastly, some principles for or of friendship. I want you to notice this statement. I wrote it down on your sheet because I thought it was so important. Notice the profitability of a friendship. In other words, whether it's good or bad, is dependent upon the spiritual condition of those involved.
Amen.
Can I say it again? The profitability of a friendship is dependent upon the spiritual condition of those involved.
Right.
Very important.
Amen.
Not every friendship will be a good one. Not every friendship will remain a good one. Because not everyone is in the same condition spiritually. And that's very important. Let me show you what I mean. There are four spiritual conditions that we find of mankind in the Bible. Let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Same book of the Bible, all the way back in chapter 2. We find the first one here in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Notice we read, read those next two words out loud.
Natural man.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. When the Bible speaks of the natural man, it is speaking of a person who is lost. It is speaking of a person that is not saved. It is speaking of a person that is without Christ. We understand that. That is a condition that we find named of a person, of people in the Bible. So how do we deal with someone that is lost? Now watch this. Please listen very closely. While we should love the lost, amen. While we should witness to the lost, amen. While we should be friendly to the lost, while we should have acquaintances that are lost people, we should not be comfortable hanging out with, spending time with, engaging in activities on a regular basis with lost people.
Amen.
In essence, they shouldn't be the definition I gave you before of a close friend. Shouldn't be. We should be friendly. We should love them. We should have acquaintances. But again, notice what we read. We should not be in close friendships with the lost. Why? You say, preacher, that sounds awful cold. No, that's Bible.
Amen.
Let me show you what I mean. James chapter 4. You might want to write these references down. I should have put them there. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Why is that? Because the world's going in a different direction. The world has a different philosophy of life. They have different goals in life. They have different purposes in life. They are going in a direct opposite direction as a believer. At least it should be. And God says, if you're a friend of the world, if you go along with the ways of the world and the philosophies of the world, which, by the way, are anti-God and anti-Bible, he says, you are an enemy of me.
Amen.
Make no friendship with the world. The Bible says that. Now, please understand, there's a balance here, a very sensitive balance. We're not mad at the world. We're not upset with the world. We love them. We want to witness to them. We want to be friendly to them. We want to make acquaintance with them. But to go and hang out with them at the places they go to and do the things they do is not a good thing for you spiritually. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Notice God says, do not be yoked up with an unbeliever. He's not talking about loving them. He's not talking about not witnessing to them. He's not talking about not being friendly or making acquaintances with them. He's talking about yoking up with them. Why is that? Because there's no communion there. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen.
God says, come out from among them.
Right.
We are in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
So we see the condition of the natural man. As a believer that's trying to walk with God, we should not be in close friendships with the lost. Then there's a second man. Notice as we continue to chapter 3 and verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. And that is this. There's a carnal believer.
Amen.
The carnal believer. Actually, the next three are going to be found here in verses 1 and 2. Actually, verse 1. Notice chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto, notice, spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There are three that are named there. We're going to deal with all three of them. But notice he says, he talks about the carnal believer. Notice, for ye are, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What's a carnal believer? A carnal believer is somebody who is saved. In other words, they go, oh, I got saved. They can say, yeah, on you know, whatever date I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I trusted him. I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I'm saved. Yeah, that's good. But you can be saved and not living for him. You can be saved and living a carnal life. You see, a carnal believer is someone who's saved, but they habitually live for the world. Their desires are to be in the world, to do the world, the things that the world does. They have very little, if any, desire for the things of God. They are bent towards sin. They're backslidden. They are rebellious.
Amen.
You see, there's people like that. Yeah, look in the mirror when you get in that state. Amen. We all get there once in a while. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm talking about, someone habitually in this state. And notice, a friendship with a carnal believer is a very dangerous thing. Because that person will, I'll say it again, that person will bring you down spiritually. They have no desire to move forward. They have no desire to get spiritual. And if you yoke up with them, if you become friends with them, understand something, you soon will be like them. And by the way, it happens so slow many times that you don't even realize it until one day you wake up and you say, boy, why am I acting this way? It's because you've been around that stuff all the time. You've been a friend with carnality. That person will bring you down spiritually. That person will can potentially ruin your life. Again, you will be like him. What does the Bible say? Hey, preacher, you say, don't be a friend with that person. Right.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. You say, well, why should I listen to you? Okay, don't listen to me. Listen to the Bible. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, not suggest, not it's a good idea, not maybe you should consider this. No, we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly.
Amen.
And not after the tradition which he received of us.
Right.
Can I take a teeny bit of a rabbit trail here? Just say yes.
Amen.
Amen. All right, three of you want it, the rest of you don't. Well, you're going to get it anyway. Parents, if your children are living in your house, it's going to sound radical. I'm going to say it anyway.
Amen.
That it's your responsibility to choose their friends for them.
Amen.
We did that.
Amen.
We said you can't hang out with that person.
Praise the Lord.
But they're not, you can't hang out with them. You're not sitting with them in church. You're sitting next to us. You're not wandering off with them after the service. You're not finding your little corner and doing your little thing. You're not doing that, okay? They're not a good influence. They're going to bring you down spiritually. It's not going to happen. By the way, that's the way parenting is supposed to be. You're supposed to rule your child, amen? You're supposed to lead and direct them, yeah, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? You're the authority. And you should, if you see a bad relation, listen to me. You as a parent have more discernment than a young child, even than a teenager has.
Right.
And everybody can see when someone's backslidden and they're not what they ought to be. And they're seeing you or your kids go with them. Everybody understands what's going to happen.
Amen.
That's my rabbit trail right there.
Right.
I'm enjoying this trail. Let's ride it for a little while. Amen. It's true, though. Sometimes we get the idea, well, they turn to teenagers. I can't control them anymore. That's foolish. If they are in your house, they are your responsibility. And you can tell them who to hang out with and who not to hang out with. And if I find you hanging out with them, you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
And whatever that may be, just so be it. Now, keep them alive. You know, keep them alive. But discipline.
Amen.
It is your responsibility. So we see, again, the natural man. Notice we should not be in close friendships with the lost. The carnal believer, friendships with the carnal believer is a very dangerous thing. But then there's a third person, and that is found in 1 Corinthians 3:1, and that is the spiritual man. Again, but brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. The spiritual man is that person who's a strong believer.
Praise the Lord.
He's settled in his ways. Hey, I shall not be moved is his theme song. I shall not be moved, right? He's strong, he's mature, he's saved, and he desires, not perfect, none of us are, but he's saved, and he desires to live for God.
Praise the Lord.
This is the person that wants to be in church.
Amen.
This is a person that wants to serve the Lord. This is a person that desires to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that wants to do right, that wants to live for God, that wants to be involved, that desires to have a spiritual walk, that wants to read his Bible, wants to have a prayer life, that loves preaching, that loves his church, and loves God.
Amen.
That's the spiritual man.
Amen.
This is a person you want to make friends with.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Notice, this is a person you want to. Why? Because as I read before, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friends. We say this all the time. You get young people going off to Bible college, and you'll find the three groups. It's in every church, it's in every Christian school, and it's in every Bible college. You got the spiritual ones that want to do right. Then you got the carnal ones that don't want to do right. Then you got that group in the middle that's trying to figure it out. What am I? And what happens is about halfway into the semester, you all of a sudden see this, this separation. Now everybody's going to find their crowd. Which crowd is your crowd?
Amen. That's good.
You know, we tend to want to be in the crowd that we are. Okay? If you think you're pretty spiritual and you get somewhere and you start gravitating to the carnal bunch, you're not as spiritual as you thought. You're kind of like Peter when he said, I'll do great. Lord, this isn't going to happen. I can stand up to anything. Yeah, then put a little pressure on him. What happened to him? He denied his Lord. We can do the same thing. Right. But that spiritual bunch, that's the group you want to be with. That's the group you want to hang out with. That's the group you desire to make friends with them.
Amen.
And then there's a fourth group. And that is the new believer. This is the one that we find here in verse 1, even as unto babes in Christ. That's someone who we could say that's weak in the faith. By that I mean that person is newly saved. So they don't know everything about, or a lot of things about the Bible. None of us know everything, but you know what I'm saying. They don't know a lot. They've never been grounded. They are immature in the faith. They don't understand certain things. Watch this. Because they have never been taught. And the things that they are not doing is not a matter of rebellion against God. It's a matter of ignorance to God's word.
Amen.
There's a difference between somebody who's just ignorant of the truth and somebody who's rebellious against the truth.
Right.
Can I say this? Notice, this is someone that you should seek to befriend.
Amen.
That's someone that needs friends.
Amen.
That's someone that wants spiritual friends. They're looking for good influence. They're looking for role models. They're looking for somebody that they can follow. You say, well, they should be following Jesus. I understand that. But this is the human side of it. They look at people. And they want spiritual friends. They need spiritual friends. They need good examples and good influence. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you've been saved a while, and you're pretty strong or grounded in the faith, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be finding some of these people like that.
Amen.
That need a friend.
That's good.
Because they do. I thank the Lord that we reach people in our church. We do. We see lots of people saved. But you know what's sad sometimes is when a new person comes into the church and we make acquaintance with them and we're friendly to them. But we don't befriend them because we have our group already. We've been here a while, you know. This is who we hang out with. And if I were to parade certain people that I would say have been here maybe 6 months, pretty regularly attending, I guarantee you there'd be somebody in here that couldn't even name their name. And I would say, why don't you know them? They're looking for friendships.
Amen.
They're looking for people that can influence them for good. You know, we say, oh, stay away from the world. Don't go out. And that's right. Don't go out in the world. Don't do that. Well, then, okay, we'll come into the church. And then we don't befriend them. And so there's a vacuum there. There's an emptiness there. Because they wonder, why don't anybody talk to me? Well, they all got their little groups. But I'm not in a group. Those are the people we should be befriending.
Amen.
You see, the lost, we love them and care for them and want to influence them and talk to them and make acquaintances. We shouldn't be hanging where they go and sitting at the bar with them. Well, I won't drink. Don't do that. It's dangerous. Don't be that kind of friend I talked about to them. Be friendly, but don't glom onto them.
Amen.
The carnal, be careful. Be careful. Because you'll be like them before you know it. The spiritual, find them.
Amen.
If you're one, find other ones.
Amen.
Find folks that you can be close to that talk about soul winning, how God spoke to them and their devotions and where they are in their Bible reading and, hey, let's pray together and those sorts of things. Those are people you want to be around because they're going to help you. You know, I love when these preachers come in, Dr. Whetstone and so forth, because they sharpen me up. They do. They challenge me. His scripture memorization challenged me. Did it challenge you? Anybody else? He went through that whole Isaiah 6, and I knew about the first two or three verses, but man, he just kept on going. I'm like, man, this guy knows just about the whole chapter here. And I thought, you know what? I need to know more scripture. That's what a friend does. He challenges you.
Amen.
Make friends with the spiritual. And then find a new believer.
Don't
sit here like my dad would say, a bump on a log, and get upset because nobody's befriending you. Some people do that. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24? A man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. Go find a friend. Make a friend. Be friendly. Not for you, but for them. But make sure you're seeking the right type of friend. Not the lost, not the carnal, but the spiritual and the new believer.
Amen.
Those are the friendships that you should make. Choosing your friends correctly. Guarding your friends. Let's pray together.